Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you can trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's a joy.
Oh, to the Crab Feast, y'all.
Welcome back.
Another Tuesday. Another Crab Feast for that ass.
It is a Tuesday.
Man, you outdid me on that one, D-Lo.
I could have kept going.
I felt like you were in a zone and couldn't keep going.
I hit that low register, doc.
That's that.
Sup, doc?
I want to say this drunk guy, I can't remember his name, in St. Louis. He just,
Sean?
I was down there, no, and he just came over to me. And you know when you're really drunk, people don't make eye contact with you, but they're talking to you a bunch, you know what I mean? They're looking down at the floor, whatever. He just kept going, can we just touch pitches? Can we just touch pitches? I'm trying to arrest somebody for touching my pitch, man.
Coming to get you, man, for that pitch touching.
Good to see you, Jay Larson coming.
Sickle Cell, good to be here with you, my man. Feast of Nation, great to be here with you as well. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, Jay Larson Comedy on all social media. One show to promote this Saturday night, the 14th. I'll be doing Mick Betancourt's show at Radford Hall, which is a fantastic show.
Fantastic show.
Ryan and I have both done it. It's always a blast. It usually sells out. I'll be promoting it. I'm sure Mick is promoting it. So if you'd like to come, check that out. It's going to be a lot of fun. And that's it. Sickle Cell.
Ryan Sickler on Twitter, Instagram. Ryan Sickler Official on Facebook, RyanSickler.com. I just want to give a huge thank you to St. Louis and all the feasters that came out. Tim Convey, you're doing a great thing down there. Thank you for having me down. And special shout-outs to Brandon and Adam, who showed me some St. Louis hospitality. Vegas.
Come on now.
How about it? Vegas. All right, here's the deal. I am at the Backstage Bar and Billiards with Sam Tripoli Saturday, November 21st. Not the 20th, the 21st. The venue double booked the thing. Same deal. There's no show in Reno, unfortunately. Yeah, I know. I told Tripoli already, you know it's going to be an adventure. There's no show in Reno for the exact same reason. So Saturday,
no Reno.
Saturday, November 21st. Tickets for that are on RyanTickler.com. We want to promote the Tuesday, December 15th. We're doing a live Crab Feast podcast at the Hollywood Improv.
Be there or be not there.
Yeah, we'll be there. It'd be great if you were. And then December 26th and 27th, I am at the Brea Improv. If you live in SoCal, come out. Bring family and friends for the holidays. It'll be fun. All tickets are on my website, thecrabfeast.com, where you can get merch, which makes a great holiday gift, you know, especially if you're looking for that someone in your life that's a Crab Feast fan. There's a lot of stuff
this
there.
This is the perfect time to be doing it, you know what I'm saying?
All orders have free domestic shipping and a flat $10 international fee. And Amazon, get your Christmas shopping done early. Do not wait.
Get on it.
Get on it. You know you'll thank us later. Premium apps are there. If you want them, they're only $1.99. And as always, we love seeing you guys on the Facebook fan page and iTunes page. Oh, also, we are now officially on Google Play. So all of you who've been asking, can we get it now that we have an Android? Yeah, you can, but you could before. You could before.
Could have got it before, man.
Could have got it before, man. So follow all things comedy on social media. And we got about another week of submissions. We can go another week of sending your favorite stories in.
So many people have been sending great stories. God. And we bounce them around.
You guys are fantastic. So we're looking for the best unknown storytellers with the best stories.
And I know people have been asking, what's this for? What are you doing with it? That show at the Hollywood Improv, we're going to have some people, if you're local and you're coming to the show, come up and do stories. So if you've submitted and you live locally, we're going to check them out and we're going to pick three or four people to come up and do a story with us.
That's right. We're going to keep the price low on the 15th. We're going to have, like we always do, we'll have some comedians that you know and love, and then we're going to bring up some some feasters that give an opportunity to give a chance and tell your story in front of a live audience at the Hollywood Improv.
So if you're local or you're in driving distance and you have a great story and you haven't submitted it, get it in.
Yes.
Because we would love to see it.
Yeah, send it to crabfeastpodcast@gmail.com.
We have a new sponsor this week, and I'm pretty stoked about them because when you hear the name of the company, you're going to be like, oh, that's simple, but it's way more than that. It's called Nuts.com, you guys. Nuts.com. Ryan, you're probably thinking, what do they have over there at Nuts.com?
That's exactly what I was wondering, what they had over at Nuts.com.
You know what I thought when I heard about it? I'm like, oh, they got nuts. Then I went to the, you know, because Ryan and I like to test out and see who we're working with if we're going to do something to see if it's something we want to promote. And, dude, I was blown away.
Yeah, you really were, actually. You were like, gluten-free nuts. You were going nuts.
Dude,
you were going nuts about their nuts, man.
I don't know if you guys know, but I've been doing gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free, caffeine-free for a month. So when I got to this site, I was...
Been real easy to work with.
They have so many... Here's another thing that... There's so many things to say about this company. But they have... Nuts. They have over 3,000 healthy snacks. So I went in there and I got gluten-free. I got gluten-free quinoa. They don't just have nuts. They have nuts. They have candies. They have chocolates. They have baking goods. Almond flour is one of their biggest sellers. Chia seeds, spices, grains. Any powder, if you do smoothies, I don't know if you do. I do in the morning. That's my breakfast. Coffees and teas they have. They have sugar-free gummy bears, regular gummy bears, chocolate-covered pretzels,
all great for the holidays.
Dude, I was going nuts, so I ordered a bunch of stuff. I didn't even mean to say that. I mean, first of all, I went on there. I'm looking. I got almonds. I got a trail mix. I got these tiny little fig cubes that were like sweet snacks because I like a healthy sweet snack. Simple, convenient, nutritious, delicious and healthy. Dude, it was at my door in 2 days. 2 days.
I'd like to try some of those.
Listen, man, all I'm saying, I don't know if I got any more, man. Right now, our customers can get 4 free samples. Okay? 4 free samples. So choose
from over
50 options. That's a $15 value.
Wow.
When you go to nuts.com, click on the mic and enter our code CRABFEAST. And so when I ordered, I got a bunch of different stuff, the quinoa, the almonds and stuff. And then they sent me a free sample. And so it's a good little size. You get 4 of those free. It's $15 when you go on there right now. I mean, it's ridiculous. Freshest products from the best suppliers in the world. Easy to cite. Easy to use. And you can buy the case or the pound or just the product. And here's something else I love. Family owned and operated since 1929. I mean, the internet hasn't been around since 1929, but this is the third generation. They were like, you know what, man? Let's just take this to the web. And they did it right. And I'm really proud of this company. I'm glad we're working. Tins, baskets, buckets, send them to friends. Right now, new customers get 4 free samples. Choose from over 50, $15 value. Nuts.com. Click on the microphone. Use the code CRABFEAST.
The microphone. Speaking of microphones.
Get down that microphone, man. I'm telling you, man. I get them fired up.
I know you
nuts,
are. You're
man.
Very excited. I am very excited as well. I'm also excited to have our Touch of Modern back, one of our favorite sponsors. Be the trendsetter in your group. The latest clothing trends and newest products available at touchofmodern.com. We'll have everyone wanting a copy of your style. Ready to upgrade your style without upping the price? TouchOfModern.com has all the latest trends at the best prices anywhere. They connect directly with the top designers. They have unique products. Each item is hand-selected to grab your attention, all at unbeatable pricing. I've been on there. I go on every day. I'm seeing flashlights I feel like that you could see out the space with. Like, I'm looking for this is another great thing.
Is that like a telescope or is it a flashlight?
No, it's a flashlight, man. It's like the top of the pyramid in the Luxor in Vegas. it's another great idea for Christmas stuff. They've got Star Wars stuff on there right now, which you know is coming out in December. There's a lot of stuff.
Basically, what you're saying is you can get great Christmas gifts at Touch of Modern. You can get your sweets at nuts.com, yeah. And you get your merch over there at the Crafties.
That's right. But Touch of Modern, it goes right away if you don't get on it. That's the thing
get
about
on
Touch
it
of
quick,
Modern. You got to get on it. They scour the globe for unique design-focused products to forge your style. Jaw-dropping tech gadgets and gear, sleek iPhone cases and accessories, vintage watches, home decor, men's fashions, and accessories. With new sales literally launching every day, touchofmodern.com is the one website to discover and elevate your lifestyle in a single click. Right now, our listeners can get immediate access when you sign up at touchofmodern.com. That's touchofmodern.com. Do it today because tomorrow it'll be different. That's how life rolls in the fast lane.
Kate gave it to me the other day because I was on there looking at vintage watches. She goes, what are you doing? I'm like, do you know anything about these guys? And she goes, what are you looking at? I'm like, Touch of Modern. She's like, get, no.
They also have like Rolexes on there that are pre-owned.
And, I know.
And, yeah. So you
I was
get them
at Panerai.
Yeah,
man.
You
I
get them
a
good price. It's really good.
Real nice.
I mean, they got some real nice stuff. We have some real nice guests. Not this week. Decent. But no, we're excited. Been trying for a while, couldn't make it happen. Glad to have him here today via satellite, Mr. Nate Craig. Welcome to the Craft Feast,
Nate Craig.
It's great to be here. I want to thank everybody involved, full top to bottom production. I've been waiting a long time for this.
Yeah, man, you've been waiting a while. Time is here. We couldn't be happier. So before we start, why don't you tell everyone whatever you'd like them to know about Nate Craig?
I'm pretty sure I posted on your Facebook walls that I wanted to do the Crab Feast.
Did you?
You did?
Look, he's true confessions right here.
On our like personal or the fan page?
No, like on your personal Facebook page.
I remember, you know what? Because I was like, I got the thing, and then I remember blocking you. And then I remember...
I knew I'd get your attention.
We got you, man.
For better or for worse.
Here you are, Nate Craig.
It's good to be here. Yeah, Nate Craig, NateCraig.com, Nate Craig Live on Twitter and Instagram. Got a couple albums out, Nate Craig Infinity, Nate Craig Eggshell just dropped exclusive release from Pandora Comedy Spotlight.
Really?
Really?
Yes. That's great. What does that mean?
Well, they choose an album and they release it.
That's killer, dude.
Yeah,
Pandora?
No, yeah, it was great. And then they give it back to me and I got to release it myself. So now it's everywhere.
Dude.
Oh, that's yeah. So they get exclusive for what, a
they
year?
They get exclusive for, it was about 2 months.
Oh, that's tight. They don't even hold it long.
They don't even hold it that long.
And then kick it back to you, and then they can play it wherever they want now.
It's
though,
still
right?
in the comedy spotlight. You know, now half the album is in the spotlight. The whole thing is on my channel.
Hey.
It's 30 minutes.
That's funny, though. They just break it up.
Where'd you record it?
Zany's downtown, Chicago, Illinois. Nice. Yeah. No, I'm excited about that. That
and,
was a good
and
deal.
And both are available now on iTunes?
iTunes, Amazon, the Universal Internet.
Universal Great. Internet?
Mm-hmm. Just out there, bro.
So
love it.
You
cover my bases.
You were in Chicago, that whole group of you guys, right?
Yeah.
So who's the Chicago group? Because
a host of maniacs.
I used to date Dana, she was from Chicago.
Oh, pfft.
And what's crazy is when we would sit and watch television.
He said that like, oh, dude, we all did her, bro.
No, he didn't say it like that. No, her, Dana and Julia, that show was like the hottest shit in town.
They're
for like
great.
A strong run, like 3 years.
Yeah, great. But when we would sit and just watch television and it would go from a show, she'd be like, Chicago. She would just point at people and be like, Chicago, Chicago. Yeah. And then it would go to commercials.
Yeah.
Chicago, Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I realized, like,
Chicago.
I think more than any other city, Chicago outside of LA and New York, Chicago is it's the main feed. It's just it's
the
crazy.
Main feed, man.
It is.
It's very strong, it and is. That doesn't
it's
even
very strong. Very strong doesn't even cover it. Mm-hmm. It's think of Bill Murray, all the SNL guys.
I mean, if you look
Obama,
at
I mean, guys.
Boom. I mean, we're everywhere. Obama used to do the elevated. Once a month.
So who was like your class? Who was your group coming out of Chicago, comedians?
Brady Novak, Kyle Kinane, Matt Bronger.
Pete
Holmes.
Kumail,
Jared Logan.
I mean, listen.
TJ Miller.
Yep.
Hannibal Buress.
That whole group of guys. And then the guys that were just a year or two before us was like John Roy, Mick Betancourt, Mike O'Connell, Matt Dwyer.
Just, all fantastic.
Just studs. I mean, if you watch the show Veep, that's not necessarily the guys the people I ran with, but that whole show is Chicago.
Oh, really?
The whole damn show almost. They're Steppenwolf for Second City.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. It was a good town to bang around in and just do a bunch of stand up.
That's sketch. Where you started comedy.
I did theater in Chicago too.
Are you from Chicago?
I'm from Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay, so mm-hmm. not far.
So then I went down to Chicago and started doing stand up, and it wasn't. I mean, it's you only got to go to a couple of shows. That Dwayne Kennedy was like the best everybody, I mean, he's an incredible comic, but at that time he was one of those guys that, you know, you just looked up to. Who'd you look up to when you started?
Like, looked up to that I knew?
Yeah, or that you just did shows with all the time. I mean, you didn't, maybe you didn't super fan him, but you were like, I just, that makes, that person makes it look so easy.
Maybe Sebastian Maniscalco.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Who's a
Chicago. Yeah, exactly.
And Brett Ernst. I used to love watching Brett.
You don't, yeah. You don't put bumper stickers on a Ferrari.
Why would you do that?
My buddy who used to come see
you
me all the time.
You got 12 tomatoes.
My buddy who used to see me all the time when I first started, the other day he just asked, he goes, how's Sebastian, man? I go, dude, he's like blowing it up. He's doing his thing the way he's doing it. I go, he's almost turned into like a cartoon of himself. Like the guy he was on stage, now he's, it's yeah. just so full blown. Like, aren't you embarrassed? But he does his videos.
Yeah. Well, it's because people like it.
Oh, my God. It's the best.
You know, that's the kind of stuff.
But
that
once you love it, you want to see it.
That's all you want.
And you as the person want to just keep taking it further and further. Why wouldn't you? It's so much fun. It's fun to watch. He's fucking great. Best.
And he'll even do like the mic bump in his chest, like with like, if, you know, that, and then that cues the crowd to like stuff like that. Yeah. Like there's so much showmanship involved. It's like
his confidence is crazy. There's only been a couple comedians that like at the Comedy Store, I would watch them. I took my girlfriend. I was like, we watched Sebastian in the main room. Then we watched him in the OR. And she's like, you want to watch him again? I'm like, yeah, we're going to watch him again.
Did you not just see that?
Yeah, I know. Did you see how amazing it was? Anywho,
so you ran with you were telling us you ran with Mick Betancourt.
That whole crew. So then I don't know. I started working the road out of Chicago, and then I started doing as many shows. You know, I just wanted to be on as many shows as I could, and definitely as many shows with that whole crew of comics. They were so good at that time. Way, you know, that early on, and then I started booking. I did like a handful of theater shows. There's this theater up in Madison. It's called the Barrymore. You guys might have played it.
I've never done it. No, sounds great.
Yeah, it's great. It's like an 800 seater, and I just was like, I could probably book that place.
800 people?
Yeah. I swear to God, I was like, people need to see these maniacs. And so I booked a show. The first one, this Kane Collier, Adam Kroesch, guys that you probably don't know, or they just never left Chicago and kind of stopped doing stand up at least. But Dwayne Kennedy headlined it, and Bill O'Donnell was this guy. And the idea for the show was there used to be this show that Dwyer used to run up above Second City called Midnight Bible School. They had this place called Donnie's Skybox. Mm-hmm. And it was Midnight Bible School. It started at 11 o'clock on Saturday night. And it was, there was no host. It was just a
train. Tag team?
Yeah. So Dwyer would be up in the sound booth. And he would do a set to open the show or whatever, and then it would just run. And so one night I'd been in Chicago for like 8-10 months or something like that, and I was just going every show I could. And this guy Bill O'Donnell, he's this hilarious dude. He's quit. He's a school teacher now, but hilarious.
You know where else he is?
Right outside
Bill
his door.
He would just try to piss off crowds. That was his thing. He was one of those guys. You know, zero tolerance for
right.
a crowd.
Yeah. Just fuck Tiniest all of you thing. Out of the gate.
Fresh out the
fuck
gate.
Fuck every one of you.
Fuck you and your sensibilities. Whatever you think about comedy, it's wrong. Go
you should
fuck
probably
yourself.
Go last, Bill.
And he's in the middle of the show, and he goes up there with like full caked on like newscaster makeup and a jacket, suit tie jacket, and a camera. It's on stage behind him, facing the crowd.
Like a news camera?
Just a tripod with he's just taping the audience.
Not himself.
Behind him, right. He's taping the audience. So he gets up there and there's sound cues. So they start playing and it's a little Foxworthy, and he just, you know, and the crowd, he plays like two or three Foxworthy jokes, and the crowd, you know, actually starts laughing. So Bill's rolling his eyes like this. And then all of a sudden, you know, they goes into Bob Marley and he starts dancing, you know, like reggae dance.
So he's playing other comedians' jokes?
He's played another comedian's jokes while he's rolling his eyes at Foxworthy's jokes. And then he starts dancing to Bob Marley. And then the mic cuts out and he's like, he's a Boston guy. Forgive me for the accent. But he's like, hey, you fucking broads. You like, I think Aaron Brockovich had just come out. You guys like that Brockovich, you dumb fucking broads?
Having a woman mask, man, Brockovich.
And he's like, you would you fucking you like Streep, that stupid broad Streep. You dumb fucking.
And just going on.
Just going on women for no good reason.
This is a weird routine he had going. I'd hate to take his class in school.
So
I'm saying following that guy.
So he gets the crowd. He gets the crowd. I think the guy plays.
Are they booing? Like, what is happening at this moment?
The crowd, they're stunned. These are the people that didn't get tickets to go see Second City.
Put on Foxworthy.
Go upstairs.
Go upstairs.
Just go up there. Just go upstairs.
I promise. Like, nobody's gonna yell at your girlfriend.
Yeah, you can see. Yeah. Yeah.
That's like a 60-seater. Great black box theater. You know, stadium seating. It's perfect place to see a comedy show. And this guy's all of a sudden telling everybody's girlfriends to fuck off. So he's, and then all of a sudden they play Public Enemy and he's, fight the power, whatever. So all of a sudden they cut the music again. He goes back into fucking whatever he said.
Was this like his Def Jam set or something? He's got his own.
He had
DJ
all these things.
Shit.
He had like strategic sets to
but
fuck
with
crowds.
But this is the thing that like I missed out, and I think Rye kind of missed out on too, is that we both started in L.A. So like when you're in Chicago, San Francisco, you're part of a group, and everyone's taking huge risks trying crazy
character pieces and plants and all that shit.
And in L.A., every set we're like, "Who's in the audience? I do my best." You know what I mean?
I got to do my development deal set. Yeah. That was not even. I mean, I didn't even think about that till 2 years after I moved out here. You know, and so. So he's pissing off the crowd again. They cut the music off. He goes back into some shit, and so all of a sudden, some guy, you know, in the crowd just pipes up. He's like, "You fucking suck."
That's exactly
Chicago,
what
they and like,
want.
And like right away, like this, it's on the standing room side. It's all the comics, and we're all just like, "That is that on purpose?
Is that on purpose?"
Yeah. And the guy's girlfriend goes, "Bobby, stop it." And Bill jumps on it right away. Like, yeah, why don't you listen to your fucking hog? Bobby, why don't you listen to your fucking hog? Maybe your hog should pipe up a little bit more often, Bobby. God. And he's like, go fuck yourself, dude. He's like, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? And he gets, and this guy's like, and his girl's trying to hold him back. The guy gets up on stage. And
come on, Bobby.
The guy gets up on stage, gets right in Bill's face.
Is it a big guy?
Not a guy that you would want to fuck with.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so the camera's right there. All of a sudden, the guy's
it's
under
on
the
camera. That's
guy,
right.
It's on camera. Yeah. Guy, get all of a sudden, you get on stage, you realize those lights are on. You know, being on stage is a little bit, it's a different scenario. Yeah. It's a thing. And he realizes that he's not going to do anything to Bill right now. And the fucking sound guy hits Public Enemy again. Bill starts, Fight the Fox starts dancing to the crowd. The guy's right here, back to the crowd. Bill starts taunting him, looking at the crowd. Where he at? Where he at? Where he at? Where he at? Gets him like this. Matt Dwyer runs out of the sound booth, grabs the guy, you know, blah, 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 I'll give you money back, whatever. You know, ushers him and his girlfriend out of the theater. And, you know, people start streaming out.
Wow. He walked the room on that?
He walks like a third of the room. Easily.
Uh-huh.
And you know,
everybody's
people are like, we've seen enough.
They want the money back. I want my money back.
Yeah. You try a socialized class, man. It's just like this.
We're with Bobby. And so he walks out.
So about 30 of the 60s
walk out all of a sudden. So Bill picks his camera up, gets off stage, and sound guy takes over for the announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Dwayne Kennedy. Just, you know, Dwayne Kennedy, cool-ass black dude, dreadlocks, just like, you know, mellow energy, like always just on point, doesn't waste a word, master comedian, walks out on stage, just soaks in it. You know, the energy in the room has dropped through the fucking floor, dude.
No, people, they're doing bad downstairs.
The people that are still in the audience are wondering why they're still in the audience.
Yeah.
And Dwayne comes out and he just goes, if you come to the comedy show and get on stage to fight the comedian, you might be a redneck. And the fucking place goes nuts, dude. It goes right back up, and then he proceeds. I swear to God, dude.
Yeah.
I felt...
They wanted the Foxworthy, man.
They wanted it, man.
They wanted the Foxworthy, but he gave it to him.
Yeah.
And he took the show right back.
Yeah.
And
that's
then he
great.
Proceeded to crush. He proceeded to crush. He was talking about he even stayed on that couple a little bit. Like, he's like, she kind of liked it. Bobby, no. But that was funny, yeah, man. That was that. And then after that, I was like, well, your regular showgoer is not that mesmerized by stand-up comedy, but mm-hmm. I sure as hell was. And yeah. I was like, I'm going to bring this shit to Wisconsin. And yeah. And so we did a couple shows up there, and then
shut the fuck up and take that back to Madison.
I got bottled that.
Don't tell anybody.
And so then I did a couple, and then the last one that I did was wound up being a couple weeks after September 11th. Your boy Mick Betancourt was on that. Mick Betancourt from the Mick Betancourt Show.
Mick Betancourt Show, great podcast.
And, Mickey, out of 10 years sober at this point or whatever, now, not at that point, still on the sauce and up there with his lovely wife. And we had a fun time. We were on the show. And
this is the theater show you're doing?
Theater show.
How many people do you think you had at this one?
At this one, like I said, it was a couple weeks after September 11th. I think we had maybe 250.
Oh, that's great.
Wow, it was good. Lot. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. It was a great show.
Yeah. And this is in Wisconsin?
This is in Madison, yeah. Okay. And so we're back at the hotel, and, I get a knock on my door, and it's Mick. And he's got a fire extinguisher in his
Wait a minute. Had you guys gone out after the show drinking and stuff?
We went, lit.
Yeah. I mean, lit. Madison is a fun-ass town.
And yeah, it's a boozy town. And we were lit. And I was drunk and high as fuck. And
mm-hmm. Paul's like, your mom's
going to get in trouble.
I mean, I was zooted out of my fucking skull. And we were shit-faced. And then Mick disappears. And then, my girlfriend at the time was there or whatever, and he comes back with a fucking fire extinguisher. I'm like, you need to put that away right now.
Isn't that a federal thing?
This whole, yeah, it's not good, and the whole block of rooms is under my name.
Oh, yeah.
How many rooms?
I don't know, 10.
Oh, Jesus. And he's beating on your door? Because
I had the Beef Curtain Cowboys up there. I had a band on the show.
Oh, you put everybody.
Beef Curtain Cowboys, man.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Yeah, you probably had a deal worked out with the
Big
hotel.
Big Bad Fad. I had the whole crew. Yeah, right, the hotel. And I had done other shows with this. And one of my friends from high school's in like the, she's works for the hotel and shit. It's right up across from the Capitol,
Through the Capitol in on it.
Through the Capitol's right.
This post 9/11. This is me shortly
after
9/11.
You know what? That is a great point. Take it back. That
you
is
forget
a great
about
point.
That, yeah.
That's right.
I mean, I'm not saying it. Just the reaction from the authorities was a post 9/11 reaction. So Mick comes to my hotel room, and he's got this fire extinguisher, and it's a two parter. It's the one with the hose coming off with the big chemical bullhorn, shit.
Yeah.
And he's got it. And he's just looking at me like, let's do some damage. And no, buddy, no.
So this is what he would do, huh?
This is what he would do.
Yeah, I don't know.
He loves telling this story, but fuck him. This shit happened to me.
Yes,
he did
exactly.
This shit.
Put him in the environment to do this.
So all of a sudden I'm like, dude, and I thought the best way, I was like, please put that back. And then I just shut the door on him. And then I hear just like rumbling, if you could hear the footwork of a fist fight, quick, nobody's ever moving around like that, you know? And he's gotten Greg Mills and I think Matt Bronger.
Oh, yeah, Bronger, too.
We're
that's
in
right.
the door next to me, and he got them to open the door, and he just hit them face first with a blast out of the stage. I come out of the all you gotta do is loosen that trigger one time, and the enemy, and it's just a smokestack out of one of those things.
I have a little one in my kitchen for safety, and the other night I was trying to pick it up and move it, and the pin slid out and all up on the wall, and I was like, and I mean just a little squeeze put a big ass blast on that wall. I had to wipe the whole fucking thing down.
No.
You had to wipe it down, huh?
It's just a small one. Imagine those big ones. Sound like an industrial.
Sounded like a fire one, man.
Mick was trying to see what it could do. And so I walk out into the hallway, and it's just a cloud. It's just a cloud.
I guess after 9/11, that would be pretty fucking scary, actually.
Yeah,
yes.
And the fire, I think At one point, the fire alarm goes off. I can't remember what point that is, but we don't go outside because we know why it's going off, which only makes us look more guilty.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
And so I'm in my room. The whole fire department comes to the floor. They know exactly where, I mean, you know.
They're firemen.
They're firemen. And they knock on my door. I try to give them the best, like, what's the problem?
Like you're asleep?
Like I'm asleep. Like I'm sleeping through this.
What time of night is this?
You know, like out of four.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Four in the morning. And these guys are not, and they're like, you're asleep? I'm like, yeah, that's my girlfriend.
You Nate Craig?
That's my, I don't know, sir, so can I help? So they go down the hallway and they talk to Mick and he somehow gets them to go away. And then as soon as they left, I walked out and I knock on Mick's door and I'm like, dude, what the fuck just happened? And he opens the door. He looks like a powdered donut. Like it had blown up into.
Talking to the police.
No, I don't know. Do you know what's on your face? Nothing. You know, which is the thing. Madison's a small town. And so they're used to college kids doing dumb shit.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if there's not an actual fire, maybe nobody actually has to go to jail.
Yeah.
And so somehow he talked his way out of it. But still, you know, I didn't know what they were going to do. I didn't know if they were downstairs getting my information from the hotel or whatever. And the way Mickey tells it, I wasn't there for this. But
P.S., you're also not a psycho. Psychos are like, what's going to happen? Yeah. That's why they're psychos.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You are not.
I just can't imagine what – I can't imagine how Mick sold it to the to these four firemen. In boots,
mm-hmm.
you know, and fireproof jackets outside of his hotel room. I can't.
He's looking like a goddamn geisha girl.
Dude, he's what's that? What's that? Eyes watering.
Yeah.
Eyes watering through dust.
My God.
Probably did have a hotel robe on.
Oh,
probably
my God.
Didn't throw his robe on because he had to go to the door in the middle of the night. Who's this? And the way I had everybody over to my mom's house for brunch the next day, and the way Mickey tells it, and my mom just grins and laughs when I confront her about it, is that when everybody was out eating, Mick goes in get a glass of orange juice, and my mom leans in and goes, if he gets arrested for this, I'll cut your fucking balls off.
Unbelievable.
But nothing ever happened. Nothing ever happened.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
He was full tilt, huh?
Yeah, he went hard. He went after it. He would go after it, for sure.
Well, that's how he does it, or did it.
That's how people who needed to get sober usually did it.
Find the way there, yeah.
You were telling us off mic about you said you got to tell us about your favorite celebrity sighting, and Jay said, well, whenever somebody says they got to, we got to hear the story, so.
Oh, well, have you guys ever done Kimmel?
No.
You've been to the Green Room, though, right?
No.
You've never been to the Green Room at Kimmel?
No, it's legendary.
It's real fun. It's real fun. Leather couches, pool tables, you know, all the TVs and everything you can drink and eat. It's great. It's a fun time. So I went to see I actually went to see Dwayne tape a set on Kimmel. And we get there.
How long ago was this?
This was, I don't know, five.
Because I think, wasn't it like early year Green Room at Kimmel was like crazy? And then it was like they kind of chilled things out because it got out of control?
5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
It was fun. Nothing got out of control, but it didn't seem like they had reined anything in.
Okay.
Yeah, people were getting good and sauced up. It was fun. So we went to go check out Dwayne do his set, and you know, I get there right away, and another buddy was there. I was like, who else is on the show? He says, Dog the Bounty Hunter. I was like, word up.
You like that?
I was just like, I want to meet this guy. I mean, he's anybody who can, you know, generate that much, you know.
Electricity?
That much electricity from his own life. You know, that's his. I want to meet this. I just wanted to meet Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah.
I was
good
excited.
Point.
I don't get that excited about celebrities. Kareem, that was Kareem.
Well, I would have to say in comparison, Kareem is a celebrity.
Yes. No. Kareem was the.
You've never gotten sucked into a like a dog the bunny hunter marathon.
No,
I have.
Or episode,
dude. I
can dial it back on the marathon.
I walked by. It's absurd. It's just so sensational.
No, I know all about him.
But I walk by Kareem.
But I hear your point.
Kareem
sure.
Abdul-Jabbar on the sidewalk in Santa Monica, dude. I acted like a bus full of Swedes, dude. I like just stared at him like a I was like, oh, I think I laughed and pointed. At Kareem's face.
Oh my God!
That was pretty awesome. But this one I was more excited about because it was the spectacle of the thing, and he's going to be on the show. So I'm sitting there, I'm having cocktails, and I'm eating chicken satay or whatever the fuck is in there, and I'm getting ready for Dog the Bounty Hunter. Yeah, I could give a fuck, Dwayne. Focus on your career for Christ's sake. I'm waiting for Dog, and all of a sudden in walks Dog the Bounty Hunter, and he was. Pretty underwhelming. It's him and his 5'3"
girl. And a half.
it's definitely Dog the Bounty Hunter, but it looked cheap and just he looked unimpressive, and I was disappointed.
Everything you're saying though is what I see on TV.
Yeah,
but
I don't know what you thought was going to come
man,
in.
Hey, I just
like I would use Dog the Bounty Hunter to describe someone else I couldn't describe. I mean, he's kind of like Dog the Bounty Hunter, you know? Yeah. Oh, okay,
hair must be impressive.
That's true.
So
you probably use that VO5 on that hair. Is that where you learned that trick?
No. That's a lot more chemicals are going into this guy's hair.
That's natural color, man.
Dog the Bounty Hunter,
yeah.
Or me?
No, him.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's natch. Yeah. It's all natch. And so I mean, I'm just like, all right, well, I'm definitely gonna meet this guy. But nobody else is going up to introduce themselves.
Are you taller than him?
I am taller than him. I am taller than Donald.
How tall are you?
6'2".
All right.
So nobody's going up to meet him, and I was gonna let the assholes go up and super fan him, and then I was gonna go in for
super fan.
I was gonna go in for a conversation. I was gonna make a connection with Dog.
Right.
Maybe have somebody go visit in Hawaii. So nobody's talking to the guy, and I'm just like, well, fuck this, man. So I grab another cocktail, and I'm walking up to him, and right as I get about 5 feet away, the real Dog the Bounty Hunter walks into the green room.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
And at that point, because he's scheduled to be on the show.
Yeah.
So at that point, everybody in this green room at Kimmel realizes that's the real Dog the Bounty Hunter, and this guy is a Dog the Bounty Hunter super fan.
Shut up, dude. Or a psycho.
That has won, who's made it to the green room, who has won himself a Dog the Bounty Hunter super fan vacation package. Dude, but his...
That's why he's there.
That's why he's there. But fake... His wife looked just like Dog's wife. And to be honest with you, fake Dog's wife was a little bit better looking than real Dog's wife.
That's a tough one to take for Dog.
And so Dog the Bounty Hunter sees it right away, probably knows it's coming, probably knows that he's got to go and do
one of these assholes in every city.
I got to go to the green room. I guess I got to go to the green room because somebody won a contest.
Right.
So he walks up. He sees him right away. Doesn't even... I was on my way to fake Dog. and so I'm like, well, I'm like right up. I'm kind of right there for this shit. And real Dog walks up to fake Dog. Doesn't even make eye contact. Looks right past him. Like right over his shoulder. And then turns his back to fake Dog. Right in fake Dog's face. Like they were actual dogs. Like,
wow.
Right.
Like, yeah. Like
marking territory.
His face was...
Were they both shirtless with vests on? Please
they
say
both
yes.
had vests on.
Shirtless under?
They both had these cornbag bracelets. Fake Dog's bracelets were like, they looked like they were made out of plastic or cardboard. Like they were, you know, like...
Put a bunch of those milk cap rings together, man.
You did some whatever to block fake knives with or whatever. Whatever he's doing in his head. Whatever he's doing in the mirror.
His Wonder Woman wristband.
Yeah, it's exactly what they look like. They look like Wonder Woman wristbands. And the look on Real Dog's face, dude.
Real Dog, I can't get
The best way I can describe it is like his he like if there was a grandpa float at the gay pride parade, dude, like just so disappointed in this man for like he just couldn't identify with him in any way, shape or form.
Yeah.
You know, he hunts down criminals. This guy hunts down his idol, you know, and he's his idol. I mean, that's uncomfortable for so many different,
so many
different reasons. And so he just turns his back on him, just ices him out, and then goes back to his dressing room.
Didn't say a word.
Didn't say a word. Not a word.
I bet it's in his contract.
Outside that door, they're like, "You're gonna walk up to him." All right, but I ain't saying shit.
I ain't saying
fine.
Shit
just walk
him.
Up to the just guy.
Well, which one is? You'll know which one it is.
Which one is it?
Oh man. So, and then
that guy probably spent real money getting the same tattoos and shit. And he just walked up and looked right over his shoulder.
His hair was identical.
Let me just get your dental records, man. Hold on. Let me get those dental records.
Real Dog. He wasn't saying shit.
And that's it?
So Real Dog goes on the show, and then Fake Dog is in the studio audience, and Kimmel gives him a shout-out.
Yeah,
like,
does.
Dog,
yeah.
we got a fan of yours here. And the guy stands up, double fists in the air. Woo-hoo! Woo! Still happy. Doesn't give a fuck.
No.
Doesn't give a fuck. His life is...
He's on Kimmel.
Being a dog.
He is Dog.
Fan. He's also probably like, you know what? When Dog turned around, I smelled his hair. I was back there smelling his hair.
I know Dog. That's how Dogs meet.
That's how dogs do it.
Man.
And Dog was just... Did
he acknowledge him then?
Shit. You know, he just sat there like just a...
Now, was your like whole ambition of meeting the real Dog changed that point to be like...
I went up to meet Fake Dog after.
Yeah, because Fake Dog is right, a more interesting person
Kevin.
Now.
Way more interesting.
Kevin.
I met Fake
Kevin Dog.
Kevin Dog.
That's because the whole shit, yeah, it did irk me a little bit. I was like, really? I was like, I mean, is he trying?
He's probably a little mentally ill, but whatever. Whatever.
Who, Kevin?
Who, yeah. Kevin or Real Dog?
Both of them.
I mean, you know, Kevin.
We should really get to the bottom of this.
Kevin, get in here,
Kevin
man!
Kevin Dog, get in here, man! Bring your vest, player.
I mean, if Real Dog is that shook up about a guy that's a fan, then come on.
Then why are you on TV, Real Dog?
What did Kevin have to say? Did you talk to him for long or no?
He was just a nice guy. He was from Missouri.
I bet he, you know what it was? I bet he probably...
Of course he was from Missouri.
Looked a little bit like, yeah, a little bit like Dog, just had like the same vibe, and then Dog came out. He's like, oh shit, I'm going to take this to the next level.
Three people one day probably said, you know who you look like?
Started
that bounty hunter guy. Dog! Yeah, and then he fucking ran with it. That's
first of all,
three people.
I bet that guy made a grip of money on Hollywood Boulevard when he left that show. You know, we're like, Superman's out there and Dog, fake
No
Dog.
One's taking pictures with Dog the Bounty.
Are you crazy? Do you know what people are walking over around
not
Hollywood,
Hollywood
Boulevard?
Well, who?
Dude, people are taking pictures with a fake SpongeBob.
They are. I used to work at Hollywood Boulevard, and I watched...
At Hollywood Boulevard?
Yeah, at the Hollywood and Highland. You know,
okay,
the,
yeah.
I was
where that Kimmel is, right?
No, they're directly across the street in that building.
Man,
dang.
Yeah, but it's a big... It's called Hollywood and Highland.
Where you collect tickets?
It's attached to it. No, it was writing, and that was where the offices were right there. But I would go to lunch out of the side
that
door.
In our face, huh?
They moved that to Eagle Rock real quick.
I would come out the side, and there this little like walkway right there, you know, covered, and it was a lesbian couple. It was Shrek and whatever the prince, whoever Gwyneth Paltrow was in there. Was it Gwyneth Paltrow, the voice of the girl in Shrek? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Shrek, and then there was the female Shrek, and then another one. I don't know who the
whoever
other.
The princess was. People
Puss in Boots. Puss in Boots. That's what it was.
Puss in Boots.
She was the Antonio Banderas character.
You said Shrek. I had an image of a homely looking lesbian couple.
Shrek female. I apologize. Yes, the women in Shrek. Except I don't think Puss in Boots was a woman. But whatever. Played by this, and they're in full costume, and they fucking look pretty good. They don't look janky like. I'll tell you about the Spider-Man, but I fucking walk down the stairs, and they are in the middle of this domestic fight. Oh, I wish I had a cell phone camera then. It was epic.
Were they in character?
totally dressed up.
No, but I mean like
voices. No, they were out of character, but still dressed like that, screaming at each other, cussing, fuck you, fuck you. I was like, oh God. Man. She's like, you don't love me anymore. She's like, I don't love you anymore. I'm like, oh my God, Puss in Boots and this lady are getting at it.
I don't even know a song from Shrek.
We did a shoot.
That's why you don't shit where you eat.
Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Oh, you fucking shouldn't eat anywhere around there. Speaking of shit, I'll tell you.
You don't shit where you eat, especially if it's where people shit,
especially
where they
where
eat.
People shit yeah, where they eat.
Exactly.
Spider-Man, we did a thing with Spider-Man, the Hollywood Boulevard Spider-Man. When I worked at E, we had to do the shoot with this guy. And the whole thing we had set up was the plight of Spider-Man having to get, you know, through the city in his day-to-day if he didn't have his webs. And we had this dude, a homeless guy. He's homeless. He lives in the hotel around the corner. He's got a Spider-Man suit. It's got stains all over it. It stinks. And we're doing shit like putting him up in trees, and I'm making the PAs do it. And he had stains all in the back of the ass. He would dress shoes on inside Spider-Man, and we'd make him take a little luggage across the crosswalk, you know, like with That's everybody right, yeah, else. We yeah. would have him doing that with all normal shit because he didn't have webs.
I'm sorry, he had dress shoes on inside in the booties?
Yeah, in the
That's
red
how he
feet.
Did it?
Yeah. So we had him do everything. Trees.
If you wear the shoes outside the costume, it looks fake.
Yeah, completely fake.
Inside, man, it looks real.
Dress shoes.
Big feet, dude.
Dress shoes. So anyway, we do a shoot. We shoot for this guy. Like 2 hours, and we pay him properly, more than he would have made on that fucking sidewalk in 2 hours.
You don't know what he's making.
We do. He told us.
What was he making?
Probably, he said like 200, but we were like, that's a little inflated. But I think we gave him 250 anyway. definitely worth his time. Well,
200, 300 if I get my suit cleaned.
Well, the guy fucking, we left one of the other producer's business cards. He wanted one, so we left it with him. He called every day for like a month and said that we ripped his suit and he wanted a new suit. He saw his opportunity to get a new suit and he was trying to pin a hole on us. We're like, dude, yeah, diarrhea stains and shit now. Like, we're not buying you a new fucking suit.
Got that in the tree, man.
And we just gave him another producer's number there at a desk and they called this guy. And just, he was just hitting him every day. Every fucking day.
You get that suit?
Never got that suit. No way.
I saw like a Superman guy one time, like, counting money, like, with his head off. Like, it wasn't Superman. It was, like, some character. He had his head off, and he's like, in a subway, like, counting his money for the day. And I was like, Jesus, dude. Come on, man. Keep it professional.
Yeah. Do that when you get back to
the lair. Yeah, exactly.
Those are fun videos to watch, people fist fighting, like, celebrity impersonators.
Yeah.
There's actually...
Oh, you mean... Yeah.
Like, people... beating up somebody in a mascot head.
Yeah.
I've
spinning all around, caving in the front of...
out in front of families and children and shit.
Caving in the front of Bugs Bunny's head.
My nephew had a party.
That's what's up, motherfucker.
Yeah. He was into like the Backyardigans. You ever heard of the Backyardigans? I guess there's some kid thing. I don't know. I never heard of them, but this is in Connecticut, and my sister-in-law got... you know, the Backyardigans to come. And the guy had a handler, you know what I mean? So it was one of the Backyardigans and then a chick who was dressed in the same kind of thing but, like, no head on. She was just like, oh, here's the Backyardigan, blah, blah, blah. And he's, you know. And they were smoking butts in the car or something. They came in, they stunk like cigarettes. And we're in Connecticut. I'm like, this should be nice. I said to Kate, I'm like, dude, do you smell this guy? He's like, what is it? They had been drinking. It was a mess.
Getting hammered in that little suit.
Mm-hmm. How else are you going to make it through a day like that?
As a Backyardigan?
A Backyardigan.
Here I am in the Backyardigan.
Again. What else we got over there?
Well, let's see here.
I mean, are we allowed to pick and choose? Or
yeah, we're going to pick and choose off this one. You wanted to hear this little... I want to hear this Little League.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. Little League World Series just happened, too.
Yeah.
Japan, man.
I was not very good at... baseball. I wound up playing in high school, but I had to take a couple of years off in Little League because I got...
I'm laughing because you took off in Little League.
I got...
burnt out? What happened?
I got... So my first year of Little League, my baseball coach was Mr. Cockin.
Cockin, huh?
And he had four boys, and they were a hockey family. He was a German guy. And his two of his sons went on to play D1 hockey. So he's like, And I didn't, that wasn't my, dad was, he was a choir director. He was a music teacher, choir director. I had to
Jesus
go to
Christ. That could have been your dad right there, Jay. That'd have been perfect for your mom.
She would have loved that.
He'd have been perfect for Jay's mom.
I had to go to boy choir and shit. So real fast, I was like, no, I'm trying to play sports. All my friends play sports. So my first year playing baseball, you know, I'm in the fifth grade and I get there and I'm like, oh shit, I want to play catcher. I want to pitch. I wanted to do all the shit that looked cool.
Yeah.
You know, catch. And so I begged Mr. Cock and the, you know, and his sons were all good at sports, you know, and I was my first year playing baseball.
Let me tell you this too. I've been to Little League games when they're like, not even you're fifth grade and going for the first time. I'm talking like early on. If kids aren't like working with someone like their dad or teaching them stuff, you can't just show up and know how to play a sport. It's just never going to happen. I never played hockey. If I showed up to play hockey right now, I would fuck. There'd be no chance for me.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I started playing hockey the same way.
Yeah.
Same way, except that one you kind of get weeded out because you literally can't move.
Yeah, you have to start hockey young.
Yeah, you do. You do. But baseball, I was like, I can do baseball. And I mean, I had never played catch. I played catch with my dad when I was a little kid. And I got a fucking badass, like, bloody nose out of it. And then he got scared away from playing catch with his son.
I'll be in the house singing.
Yeah. And so it was, you know, here, fast forward to my first year at Little League, I wouldn't shut up. About pitching.
You're just bugging the coach about
pitch.
It.
I wanted to pitch so fucking bad. And, you know, there's all these kids on the team. They're all good. To me, in my mind, they're still full-grown adults. You know, like, they know how to do all the cool shit, athletics and shit. Finally, we're playing. It's some game where we couldn't get the field, so they had to put down those plastic bases. You ever have those?
Like, just in the grass.
Just in the grass.
Like
they put down, like,
field.
The flat rubber bases. And so he's like,
you step on him, you can fucking slide and tear your groin.
We get into the game and we start when we're up like 10-0. We get up like double digits, and
oh,
I'm
you're
like,
on easy street,
and
bro.
I'm like, and I'm well, I'm not pitching yet.
Oh,
but I'm coming, but I'm playing, and I'm coming back to, you know, he's got me in right field, or I don't even know if I was in the field at that point. I really was awful. And so I'm like, can I pitch, coach?
I can't believe there's this kid in fifth grade.
Yeah, and I'm like, can I pitch, please? And he finally, like, we're up like 15 to something.
Had you ever pitched anything, like even
never,
on the side?
Ever, not one time, never. Never.
Never even threw at the wall with a square or anything.
Yeah, no. So he finally, he's just like, all right, you're in. And I think we were up like, we were up a lot. It was double digits, and my first pitch goes over the umpire's. My second pitch is like in the dirt, halfway to the plate. I'm all over the plate.
All two, evening out.
I remember Benji Goldberg was the catcher, and he was just the rah rah guy. He was like your prototype, you know. Catcher psychology, you know, he was just, you know, pumping up the team
game,
in the right way,
control
the game, that kind of guy, tell the pitcher what to do, this and that. Just playing catch, Nate. I throw a strike.
2-1, player.
2-1.
Feel good.
From then on, I proceed to walk the bases loaded.
Yep.
Mr. Cockin leaves me in the game.
Oh, that's a mistake.
Until I walk in 6 runs, dude.
You wait a minute. That's
runs?
1, 2, 3.
Yeah,
you walked the
players.
Entire team.
I walked the entire.
Consecutively. No one got a hit.
Nobody got a hit. The other
turns out it's a state record, man.
The other coach immediately was like, I mean, that's an easy lesson for your team. This is when you take pitches. You take this pitch. This kid can't throw. This kid can't make it to the plate. Not a single one of you is swinging your bats.
Are you still like, fuck this, I'm going to do this?
As soon as I walked the bases loaded, I was piss pants nervous. I was so sad.
You wanted to do this.
I wanted to do this so bad. And he just stood there. He stood there
His
and he left me
like,
in the game. He's like,
Ave
Maria. Yeah. He was like, I am never going to have to listen to this kid
ever again
ever,
man.
Never.
Oh.
And we lost the game.
Oh!
We lost the game. And
did you get the loss?
I mean, I had to.
I'm saying
I had to. I really don't know. I mean, I'm responsible.
It still
for,
had to be
I'm responsible
guys
for
back.
Six runs.
And then the three guys on.
And then
on.
The three guys on.
Nine
I really don't
runs.
Know. I think we
no,
were
you were double digits.
Digits,
so the L doesn't go to you.
It doesn't.
That's got to feel good.
You got no decision, man.
No but decision, I, man. But I, so I stopped playing baseball for, I didn't start playing
ERA.
Baseball until I was, until I was a freshman in high school again.
And then
no,
you're
like,
that
was damn, good. That is painful.
Was good. Yeah, that was painful.
But how did you get good? Did you, like, learn? Were you practicing? Were
well,
you
I'm a decent athlete.
Yeah.
And it wasn't about, and at that point, you know, it's like I started playing catch with friends, and
yeah,
then I started
exactly.
playing ball with friends, and then it's like, oh, I can do this.
Oh,
I'm not,
my God.
I don't have to
can't
shit
even
myself
imagine.
And cry in
oh,
front of every
God.
Kid I know. I was literally flying blind, dude. I had never, like, it was like, I was like, I joined the team because that was the team my friends were on. And now I play baseball now because I'm a kid. I'm a dude. And
see,
I
would have let you
do.
Walk four. Four would have been enough.
Six.
You didn't need six. That's a bad coaching move. Lessons learned.
He wanted
four
to
is you
make
move.
Sure.
That
he,
four would have
well,
been
did.
Enough.
He made
and left
sure
bases
2 years.
Loaded. He made sure. He took off
and all, in retrospect,
two-year
hiatus. It would have, I'm sure the other parents are like, hey. We gotta be somewhere. Everybody's
yeah,
got to eat
seriously.
Dinner.
My
yeah.
kid hasn't eaten, man.
Right?
But I was throwing steady. There was a couple strikes sprinkled in, but it was steady.
And they were going. Fans were probably going nuts. And you,
I made.
Strikes.
I made as. Ha! Had a boy, Nate. Just playing catch out there, Nate.
Playing
ball
catch, Nate. Ha! Hey, second base, wake up, second base.
Second
wake
base.
Up. Guys
just
are sleep.
One out of four is a strike. It's even more cruel. It is. It hurts even
umpires
more.
Calling out fake counts. Full count.
Full count.
This kid just got up there.
Running together. Play ball.
32.
Oh, my God, dude. That's tough for
me. Oh, that is tough.
How was the next day in school?
Yeah, I mean, I was. Maybe, I just, it hurt my credibility. Whew. It hurt my credibility.
Street cred was shot.
Those four brothers were like going to beat the shit
there's
out of
there's people back in Germany
they, no,
talking about
that. That family, they
that dude's family knows about you.
Yes, they call it America's pastime, but
Nate Craig. Nate Craig.
Oh, man, that was great.
Dude.
Yeah. Now, they lived around the corner, and then... I started
just
playing.
At you every time
I started
passed,
playing
yeah.
hockey, and hockey was their game. He wouldn't even let me skate with his kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the pond. There
he didn't want
pond.
It to like rub off or whatever. Come on, in public,
dude. He was not the nicest man.
Oh, he's German. What do you want?
To me, at least. I mean, he was probably
cost him coach of the year. I mean,
oh man,
here comes that Nate Craig.
This mother.
What does he want now? Let me deliver the papers. Let me deliver. The
probably throw him in the house.
Dude, that was brutal.
Oh, man, that is brutal. I didn't think you were going to lose the game. I really thought he was going to yank you. And
we
then...
lost. We
yeah,
lost the game.
Tough.
We were beating the shit out of that team, too. He's I was like, that, I was that's all. I was like so excited. I want a part of it. I want a piece of this. This looks fun. This looks
this is
so easy.
Lead.
This looks so easy.
Yeah, because they're making it look easy, too.
Making it look so easy.
Man, and think about this, what he just went through, and in the Little League World Series.
I was thinking
kids,
about his dad
those
thinking Ave Maria. That's what I'm thinking about right
so
now.
So much respect
come,
for those
come
kids.
Come on, Nate.
Ave Maria.
In the car. You know, just right there in the parking lot in the car. Not watching you, but right on
windows
the other side
down.
Of the bleachers.
He could not give a fuck about sports, dude. Not only that, but he hated sports because he taught music at a Catholic high school, and he hated the athletic director. He's like, they get all the money. They get all the money. They don't have to do shit for it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, 1,200 people are showing up to the basketball games. Okay, Dad.
Right.
Sorry, swing choir's not bringing in.
Swing choir!
With the...
Oh my
what are we
God!
Doing?
I can't
what are we
even.
Doing? What are we? What are we doing at the basketball team?
Can you sing?
Yeah,
I was in choirs, but I quit. That was like that was my divergence.
But
I was
did
like,
you sing real well.
You know what? That game probably was the when I was a kid.
Yeah,
that was you gotta work.
You were trained, but you gotta understand something. Those four German kids, they had the coach.
They had the coach.
You had the coach.
You had the coach. You had the
voice coach at home, man.
I had the coach. I'm saying two of them played D1 hockey. The other two probably never touched a hockey stick in the rest of their life.
And what I'm saying is if you really embrace what your dad was doing, who knows? You might be fucking crushing it right now.
Might be a Pavarotti.
Look, I am very good at pickup hockey, okay? I'm an exceptional pickup hockey player.
Rollerblade, roller hockey?
Dude, not in a while, but I can fuck it up on rollerblades.
I got an Uber the other day, and I pulled this move once when I'm like, you mind if I get in the front seat? Guy's like, nah, go ahead, man. So get in there. We start talking. He's like, oh, you from Massachusetts? I'm like, yeah. He goes, yeah, me too. Start talking about – he goes, I went to college in Boston. I go, where'd you go? He goes, I went to BU. I'm like, oh, man, nice. Good school. He goes, yeah. He goes, I played hockey there. I'm like, you play hockey at BU? He's like, yeah, that's like playing basketball at Duke, you know? I'm like, dude, that's sick. And he's like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, we start getting to it. I go, why did you, were you going to have a chance to play pro? He goes, I could have played in Europe, but I didn't. And now I'm out here in LA and I just got let go from this job. It all started because he had a dope Lexus. I'm like, dude, this car is sweet. He goes, yeah, I bought this when I got this new job. And then they let me go. And so he's stuck with this new ride. He has no job. Oh, and he's we're going back and forth. He's telling me the whole story. He doesn't like it out here. He's living with his sister. I'm like, dude, let me just tell you one thing. I'm giving him like life advice. I'm like, if I had the chance to play pro sports, I'm like, I'm a stand-up comedian. You got to go for it if you really wanted it. And he goes like, yeah. He's like,
was he a kid? Is this still
in
his life?
He's like 24. Yeah,
and so he's not too old.
Ready for this though? He goes, yeah, I don't know, man. I was thinking about going pro in roller hockey. And I go, roller hockey? What are you talking about? He goes, I've been playing in this sponsored league, you know, where they I go, you get paid? He goes, well, they pay for our equipment, and they give us some, like, I'm like, dude, you need to get a grip. You're trying to go pro in roller hockey right now? He's like, I know, man. I got to figure it out.
Yeah, that's just a wormhole you don't want to go down. You come out the other end, you're 32, you got none of your original teeth.
You got rheumatoid arthritis, all your fucking bones are breaking and shit. You have no health insurance.
Are we talking roller hockey? Are we talking
roller hockey?
Oh, yeah.
Both.
It's not freaking roller derby.
I know. Depends. I know exactly what. I went and watched.
No.
I'll parallel this.
Roller hockey's doing anything they can to sell tickets.
Yeah, those guys are crushing each other.
Brawling.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah, probably.
I once read somewhere that, like, the career expectancy of like a bull rider is only like 8 weeks or something like that, because then they'll break something, they got to take it off, but they'll come back. But I'm saying their run, I guess, not their run will be like a 2 month run, and then you're going to break an arm or something, and then you come back.
There's no money in that anyway.
But I went and watched indoor football here when LA had a team. I can't remember what the hell they were now. The Avengers, maybe. Yeah, they were something like
they
that.
They were the Avengers.
And I hated it because there's zero defense. I mean, there's – I don't know.
They just had the championships. It was like 68-52 is the final.
Yeah, there is zero defense. A guy just starts running, and then they time it. As soon as he gets to the line of scrimmage, they snap it. And this dude's already full fucking sprint. You're just throwing bombs. And those guys get paid – I don't know. I think it's like – a guy got hurt on the field, and people were talking about it because we were in a box. And they said like $35,000. And they don't give them health insurance and all this shit. So if you get fucked up in that bullshit
Kurt league, Warner, bro.
I know. There's always one.
Kurt Warner.
On. Yeah. Well, it's the same thing. He was bagging groceries.
I think that is the one.
Let's back it up, though.
All I'm seeing
now is his dad in the car, windows rolled up with the AC blast.
Windows up.
AC blast. With the music's going
loud
and
shit.
Rolls it down, and you just hear Ave Maria. Like, that a boy, Nate! Take your bait!
That's
painful.
We were talking about concerts. You mentioned Grateful Dead, and I wanted to... I don't want to steal your thunder.
Your dad coached the Grateful Dead, right? Singing coach?
Vocal coach.
Yeah. Yeah. No, wait. Did you say you went?
Yeah, I was saying that the extent of my Grateful Dead experiences were I probably went to 8 to 10 parking lot. When they were in town, I would just go to the parking lot for the party, hang out or whatever. I only went to one proper inside to see them at the Capitol Center when that was still there in D.C.
And would you like mushrooms? Acid?
No, I've never taken acid in my life.
Oh, really?
No, drugs really scare me. I've never done cocaine. I smoke. I've done shrooms a couple times, but I enjoyed it for a while. And then after like an hour and a half, I was like, all right, get the fuck. Let's, can we hustle this out? You know, and I was just stuck with it.
There's yeah. oxy a lot, but
I was like, no, no pills, none of
those. That's legal. Well, I love mushrooms. I love me some mushrooms. And I went, I had never seen the dead. I went to a couple fish shows and, this was the summer. This is the summer after my senior year in high school. And I went to see Pearl Jam at Summerfest in Milwaukee Friday night. And I went to see Grateful Dead, which was the last show of the tour, Saturday night at Soldier Field.
Damn.
And it was like, you know, it was summertime. It was landscaping. It was just your, you know, classic high school summer. Yeah. You know, yeah. It was just concerts and work and beer. You know, on a golf course somewhere or whatever, and where you guys drink when you were a high school kid. But so I had it all set up. So I went to Summerfest, came back. I was going to drive down. Me and my buddy Ryan were going to put our bikes in my car, and we were going to bike from the north side. We're going to stay at my buddy's sister's house on the north side by Wrigley. And then we were going to bike down to Lakeshore, go to the show. We had it all set up. I had a big bag of mushrooms, good-looking mushrooms. I was all set. So we get to the parking lot, and then I eat just a beautiful mushroom. Probably I wouldn't even
do it
today. Oh, it was a one piece.
You love mushrooms. Look I'd at love, you. Lighten up.
I've eaten mushrooms about 100 times in my
life. Maybe I should do it with you then.
You should. You should come over for the 4th of July. Come over before then. You want to go to the ocean? Do it. I got a mushroom guy. And so
you just saw one big one
One big one, which, you know, you never know what's in, you can't see inside it.
Yeah.
You can't see the inside of it.
It's like the dealer you meet in the parking lot. Can't see inside it, man.
And so we're walking around doing the parking lot. I got a bag full of joints. This was before weed got good. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
Hell
yeah.
Good.
I love that weed. Yeah. Swag weed.
Swag weed. You could just roll it up
like
cigarettes.
We called it practice weed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
BP weed?
Just dirty as fuck.
All seedy and stemmy.
Oh,
and
just it would, joints would pop on you and shit. Just,
yeah. Flying out of there like, God damn.
Whoops. And, oh, man. So I start shrooming my balls off. My friends.
Off this one mushroom?
Off this one mushroom. And I eat it, you know, about an hour or so before I go into Soldier Field. At one point, I lost my ticket in an outhouse. And I, like, had to, like.
Oof.
I had to, like, run back into the outhouse, and my ticket was sitting there. On the side. Not, obviously, I didn't drop it in the fucking shitter, but that, it was like
that
shit
was a
like
miracle.
That. Like,
you're that's doing, all they're asking for doing, the whole time. Mm-hmm. I need a miracle. Yeah, there I was mean, one. I that would have been one for somebody to walk in and be like,
and so I'm like, I just got to get into this fucking stadium. And so my friends stubbed me in. They got second row seats.
Wow.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, in a stadium that big, that's like, and I was fucking... I was lit pretty good. Sun was just going down. It was perfect. If you did it with
summer
a,
night.
If you did it with a bottle of wine, you'd be like, this is the best night of my life. The band is opening.
Oh wow. God.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they sang Sweet Home Chicago. Dude, and I, so I'm second round. I'm just like, I start, this is the thought that starts crossing my mind. And to this point, I had not had a bad mushroom trip. And in my life, I've had one bad mushroom trip, and this is it. I'm like, I don't deserve to be down here. I don't even listen to the Grateful Dead.
Guilty as fuck.
Guilty as fuck. I'm like, guys, I gotta go. They're like, what do you mean? We just pulled off, you know, Mission Impossible to get you through here. You're second row. Don't even think about leaving. I'm like, guys, I gotta go real bad. And they're like, all right, man. And they're just all like looking at me sideways. I'm like, oh, cool. So I'm like running around, and I just am not good. Like, I'm not.
Something.
Like I just feel bad, like uncomfortable in my own skin. I'm not, it's like too hot or something. I can't figure out what's going on. I can't figure out what's what in my pockets.
Yeah.
I'm like, something's off. And then I sit down in my seats. It's a couple kids that are like in the class younger than me, the juniors, you know, and like they're cool guys, but they're not like my boys. So I can't be like, dude, I'm freaking the fuck out.
So wait, you wouldn't have had a seat in the second row, right?
No. My seats were up
Right. Like, so you just would have been standing like in between people or
but
something?
But nobody would have been sitting down.
Yeah, of course.
The second row, Grateful Dead, last show of the tour. Everybody would have been off.
Yeah,
you know,
I hope so. Good point.
Yeah. So yeah, it's not a – we're not back at church.
Billy O'Donnell's dancing
at your dad's concert.
and so I find my seats and oh, by the way, my buddy Ryan and I, we didn't wind up taking our bikes because I had to dump a ticket and I had sold it to this chick that we went to school with, and her name was Emily, and she needed a ride down, so she wound up like kind of not just needing the ticket, then she needed a ride, and then since she was going, had a ticket with us, she was going to go with us. I don't know what her deal was. She must have liked Ryan or something. I don't know, but we had nothing going on, and so she's just there. There's all these different elements that are just fucking with me in this. I'm tripping my fucking nuts off, and then I sit down. I finally get to my seat. I walk past her. I don't say shit to anybody. I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden, the guy next to me goes, "Hey, how many shows have you been to?" And I'm like, "Oh, this is my first one." And he looks at me, and he's a little bit older, like in his mid-40s. He goes, "Oh, how many CDs you have?"
Swear to God.
So I'm like, this guy's fucking with me too.
This is why I left the second row.
I'm like, oh my God. And so I'm like, oh, give him weed. I'm like, all right, cool. So I'm like, boom, pow. Light up a joint, pass one joint this way, pass another joint to this guy. His brother and his girlfriend try it, and then it comes back and he goes, And he hands it to me, and he kind of gives me a look, and then I hit it, and I pass it back to him, and he's like, "No, thanks. That's some real dirty weed you got there, man."
Jesus!
I'm serious, dude.
Motherfucker's probably been to every show, like in Portland, and he's pulling good weed.
Drinking Pinot Noir.
Right, he's flying on, he's chartering jets to go to shows, man. And so, I'm just like, man, this fucking guy is fucking with me. And I was like, I'm taking on myself. Like, oh, it's my, you know, I'm the source of all this angst and shit. You know, that's just where I go when I get nervous and shit. But like, I'm tripping. I'm like, no, fuck this guy. For real, fuck this dude. So show is going and all of a sudden, homeboy fucking passes out hard. Like, so that his girl and his brother are worried about him. And so he's like this, one of those.
Oh, man, like over the
chair.
He's
over the chair, like, and all of a sudden, and I'm like, oh, fuck, my fucking weed, fuck. And I'm like, oh, man, damn, dude.
Must have got all the seeds.
That dirty weed, man.
And she's like, can you help us?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, have his brother do it. Because fuck this guy. I was like,
have his brother do it.
I was like, I've seen people passed out before. I'm just like, and the security comes, get him out of there. And I'm just like,
and well, he's just one of many. There's probably
right. There's a sensor.
Section 42D.
There's a sensor.
42D. 42D. Shrooms, 42D.
Yeah, we got early drone technology was used to spot people. going into cardiac arrest at the dead shows. So finally, I'm just like, man, what else, dude? And I'm just like, I just gotta go to the bathroom, and I get there and I can't piss, and I'm standing there, and finally this dude walks in and pisses next to me, and he just is just like, he's just having the time of his life. He stands next to the pisser next to me. He doesn't say anything to me. He just screams at the wall, "Whoa! Whoa!
Just while he's peeing,
he just gives a fucking just a drunken yahoo. I mean, just the loudest shit, and it kind of made me laugh a little bit. And then he goes, and other people are screaming and shit. And then he walks out. And then finally, I piss, and I realize that the whole time I've had to piss really bad, and I just couldn't locate it.
Yeah,
in my head, it seems like nonsense to me now, but I'm like, I had to piss real bad. And I go back, I'm a little bit at ease, and then I leave the show, and then Helen's like, help me get back to the car, and I'm like, I gotta go.
Wait, you don't think, so was the piss that what set you off from row two as well?
No.
It wasn't that deep, huh?
I thought it was.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what happened. So, So Emily, this chick is, she's like, I gotta get back to the car. You gotta get me back to the car. And I'm like, listen, just get in a cab. I will meet you there, but I gotta go. The city felt anonymous to me at that point. You know, Chicago's great. It just felt, it was, there was, there's parks between Soldier and you gotta walk back to the train. It's like you can disappear mm-hmm. for an hour or two if you need to. So I'm like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. So I'm just like, and so she's like following me and I'm like, no, you have to get into a cab. You have to go away. And, you know, I just can't help myself. I'm just like, I fucking ran. ran away from this.
ran away from her.
In Chicago. And I'm like, just, you know where it is. Just get, I'll meet you there. And so, which I don't know why she wanted to be. I was worthless at this point. And so fucking we get back and we get to the house and my buddy's sister won't let us in. She's like, it's full. The whole concert stand. The whole concert stand.
42 D's in here, girl.
Gotta get out.
Your weed really fucked me up, man.
That guy's and, there.
And so I'm like, all right, I'm not drunk. I'm just tripping. And I'm like, let's go. I'm dry. It's 2 hours back to Wisconsin. I'm like, let's go. And then we get halfway there, and I'm like, I gotta pass the fuck out. And then I'm passed out, and then it just gets so hot that I'm just like, all right, let's go. I start driving. I'm still awful. I get back to my mom's house. I'm awful. I go to bed. I wake up the next day covered in poison ivy.
What?
Like, I hadn't broken out yet, but I was landscaping on Friday.
Oh,
I was covered in poison ivy, dude.
No shit.
Poison ivy all over my arms.
So like you're on shrooms and this whole body experience
is like
too.
Just like killing me. Have you ever had poison? I've had it once in my life and that was it.
That's
and it was
it?
The worst.
I got it every summer of my life and we used to have to go get shots of like cortisone because we would have it so all over us that we would take our fingers and we would just slide them through carpet like this, and it would just feel good because it would be itching it, but you're really making
it worse
swell,
and
you couldn't put your fingers together, and then it just spreads all up your arms.
You used the sickler kids.
Yep, the sickler kids used to get poison.
The sickler kids.
Dirty weed.
Poison ivy, poison oak, and
I'll tell you what.
And sumac.
Don't even, you're not going.
All the poison.
Where are you going, the sicklers? No, you're goddamn, no you aren't. It's mid-August.
Stay off the rug over there.
It's mid-August.
Mid-August.
I had poison chicken pox.
Poison parsnip. That's what I got when I was real
bit. Man.
That's something that I'm allergic to.
So you're tripping.
Tripping.
And
it,
as poison
no
ivy is just starting to come
that
out.
That guy next to you might have been allergic to poison ivy, dude.
I hope he was. I hope he got some.
You put him down, bro.
How many CDs do you have? Fuck you.
I love the exact guy you were afraid of running to in two was sitting right next to you. Probably the only guy in the whole.
You went from the best seat next to that asshole.
Oh,
I saw 100. You in the second row. By the way, it's a good thing you left.
That's what you get. Smoke this weed, pass out, you dick.
Oh my god.
Well, Nate, this has been a lot of fun, man. We're there. Thank you very much for coming on.
Honor to do it. All things
that was
comedy,
great,
man.
Yeah, that was great, man. Will you one more time tell people where they can find you on social media, Twitter, website, all that stuff?
NateCraig.com has everything. It's got the links to the to my Pandora channel, also Pandora Comedy Spotlight, Spotify. Follow me on Spotify and Pandora. Nate Craig Eggshell.
I got to say,
everywhere.
I want to say of all the episodes we've done. You're the first person to ever say follow me on Pandora and Spotify.
Yep.
Straight.
How about that?
I mean, I don't even make hard copies of my albums anymore. I mean, buy them on iTunes if you want.
Yeah.
But I'd be more than happy if you follow me on Pandora and Spotify.
There you go.
And Apple Music when it hits the market.
Is that coming out?
I think so.
Yeah, no, I already invested. I don't know anything about it. Dude, it was a lot of fun, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, boys.
As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy on all social media.
RyanSickler.com. Go ahead.
I'll be at the Comedy Underground in Seattle November 12th through the 14th.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm Ryan Sickler on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, sure. RyanSickler.com. Talk to y'all next Tuesday.